Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 83. God made all his creatures free. Life itself is liberty. God ordained no other bands than united hearts and hands. Hymn number 83. Scriptural this morning will be given by Suzanne from Vermont.
I shall read from Psalm. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. O how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimony. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Let's now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 148. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Hymn number 148. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, please catch it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can also find it on our YouTube channel. And we have a Sunday school for children every Sunday at 11. And that Sunday school is for children anywhere in the world. It has its own teleconference number. So if you have a child of Sunday school age and would like that child to attend, he or she can do so just by calling that number. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers at all of our services. So bring the whole family. And we've been busy printing and mailing the forum highlights. Latest edition has been printed and put in the mail for subscribers. And we have another new article that I'd like to point out featured on our website that I found very helpful and appropriate, entitled God Governs the Nations by Peter V. Ross. Short, to the point, but right on. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Miscellaneous Writings, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Karen from California.
Page 417. In the February journal, it appears there is someone who says that science and health with key to the scriptures is hard to understand, and who thinks she can explain it. Perhaps my experience with science and health may help someone who might otherwise take up this thought and so be led away from the truth. After reading and studying it for some time and talking to scientists I met in my travels, the thought came to me, why not try these truths on yourself? I did so, and to my surprise and great joy, I found immediate relief. Dyspepsia, the trouble of most commercial travelers, catarrh, and many lesser beliefs left me, so that in a short time, I was a well man, and by no other means than trusting to the Savior's promises as explained in Science and Health. This took place while I was traveling about the country. On my return home, I gave my wife treatments. In many instances, the blessing came before the treatment was finished, and often we proved that only a thought of the power of truth was sufficient to give relief. One Sunday morning after my return, a friend called and asked if I could give him anything to relieve his wife, who, he said, had been suffering for some days with rheumatism in her shoulder, so severely that she could neither dress alone nor comb her hair. I told him that the only medicine we had in the house was Christian Science. He laughed at the idea, but before he left, he asked if I would give his wife a treatment. I told him I was very young in science, but if she wished it, I would. He went home, but returned immediately, saying she wished me to come. Then I asked help from the fountain of truth and started for my first treatment to be given away from home. When I left their room 15 minutes later, she was shaking her hand high above her head and exclaiming, "I am all right. I am well." That was in November 1887, and she has had no return of the belief since. A friend told me that his son, 12 years old, had catarrh so badly that his breath was very offensive. His throat troubled him all the time, and that he had been deaf since he had the measles. In less than 3 weeks, both beliefs vanished. This was a case of absent treatment. I could give you other cases, but I think I have said enough to prove that science and health is not hard to understand. For my work has all been done without my ever attending class. HHB, New York City.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 2 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: God. The Golden Text, Exodus. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The responsive reading, Leviticus. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them,
then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely.
And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land.
And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people.
I am the Lord your God.
Florence will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Deuteronomy. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Exodus. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. John. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verily, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. The only guarantee of obedience is a right apprehension of him whom to know aright is life eternal. Though empires fall, the Lord shall reign forever. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The everlasting I Am is not bounded nor compressed within the narrow limits of physical humanity, nor can he be understood aright through mortal concepts. The precise form of God must be of small importance in comparison with the sublime question, what is infinite mind or divine love? Who is it that demands our obedience? He who, in the language of Scripture, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God is what the Scriptures declare him to be. Life, truth, love. The Scriptures imply that God is all in all. From this it follows that nothing possesses reality nor existence except the divine mind and his ideas. God, the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. God is one God, infinite and perfect, and cannot become finite and imperfect. Jesus taught but one God, one Spirit, who makes man in the image and likeness of himself, of spirit, not of matter. Having one God, one mind, unfolds the power that heals the sick and fulfills these sayings of Scripture, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and I have found a ransom. When the divine precepts are understood, they unfold the foundation of fellowship, in which one mind is not at war with another, but all have one spirit, God, one intelligent source, in accordance with the scriptural command, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Man and his maker are correlated in divine science, and real consciousness is cognizant only of the things of God. When man is governed by God, the ever-present mind who understands all things, man knows that with God all things are possible. The only way to this living truth, which heals the sick, is found in the science of divine mind, as taught and demonstrated by Christ Jesus. To reduce inflammation, dissolve a tumor, or cure organic disease, I have found divine truth more potent than all lower remedies. And why not? Since mind, God, is the source and condition of all existence. To ignore God as of little use in sickness is a mistake. instead of thrusting him aside in times of bodily trouble and waiting for the hour of strength in which to acknowledge him, we should learn that he can do all things for us in sickness as in health. Failing to recover health through adherence to physiology and hygiene, the despairing invalid often drops them, and in his extremity, and only as a last resort, turns to God. The invalid's faith in the divine mind is less than in drugs, air, and exercise, or he would have resorted to mind first. The balance of power is conceded to be with matter by most of the medical systems. But when mind at last asserts its mastery over sin, disease, and death, then is man found to be harmonious and immortal. We cannot serve two masters, nor perceive divine science with the material senses. Drugs and hygiene cannot successfully usurp the place and power of the divine source of all health and perfection. What can improve God's work? To have one God and avail yourself of the power of Spirit, you must love God supremely. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position, or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. There is but one way, namely God and his idea, which leads to spiritual being. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. On this fundamental point, timid conservatism is absolutely inadmissible. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. To admit that sickness is a condition over which God has no control is to presuppose that omnipotent power is powerless on some occasions. The law of Christ, or truth, makes all things possible to spirit. But the so-called laws of matter would render spirit of no avail and demand obedience to materialistic codes, thus departing from the basis of one God, one lawmaker. To suppose that God constitutes laws of inharmony is a mistake. Discords have no support from nature or divine law, however much is said to the contrary. Let us accept science. Relinquish all theories based on sense testimony. Give up imperfect models and elusive ideals. And so let us have one God, one mind, and that one perfect, producing his own models of excellence. Let us feel the divine energy of Spirit, bringing us into newness of life and recognizing no mortal nor material power as able to destroy. Let us rejoice that we are subject to the divine powers that be. Such is the true science of being. Any other theory of life or God is delusive and mythological. When we fully understand our relation to the divine, we can have no other mind but His, no other love, wisdom, or truth, no other sense of life, and no consciousness of the existence of matter or error. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20. The first commandment is my favorite text. It demonstrates Christian Science. It inculcates the triunity of God, Spirit, Mind. It signifies that man shall have no other spirit or mind but God, eternal good, and that all men shall have one mind. The divine principle of the first commandment bases the science of being, by which man demonstrates health, holiness, and life eternal. One infinite God, good, unifies men and nations, constitutes the brotherhood of man, ends wars, fulfills the scripture, love thy neighbor as thyself, annihilates pagan and Christian idolatry. Whatever is wrong in social, civil, criminal, political, and religious codes, equalizes the sexes, annuls the curse on man, and leaves nothing that can sin, suffer, be punished, or destroyed. We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 209. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O gentle presence, peace and joy and power, O life divine that owns each waiting hour, thou love that guards the nestling's faltering flight, keep thou, my child, on upward wing tonight. hymn number 209.
Thank you. retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he lives to make men holy, let us live to make men free.
Let's now sing hymn number 1. Be thou, O God, exalted high, and as thy glory fills the sky, so let it be on earth displayed, till thou art here and now obeyed. Hymn number 1.
I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage, 1 John 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen.